Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Well, we are in week number 3 of our annual Unity Awakening series of Sunday talks and small groups. And I want to give a shout out to our small group facilitators who had a check-in meeting on Friday, including Sam Lee, who is in the AV booth today. So our facilitators do a wonderful job of creating sacred space for the processing of the material. And this year, all of our groups are virtual. So that's a new element. And again, just a shout out to those facilitators making that sacred space a reality for the participants in the program. Yes, week number 3, we are studying the book, How Then Shall We Live? 4 Questions That Reveal the Beauty and the Meaning of Our Lives by Wayne Moller. And this book has been out for a while, but it seems like the perfect material for the times in which we find ourselves. And I'm finding it very meaningful right now, and it's allowing me to see the beauty of the world. So there you go. We're winning on all accounts. So we have 4 questions that we are examining in this series. And those are these: Who am I? What do I love? How shall I live knowing I will die? And what is my gift to the family of Earth? And I would say, really, what are my gifts to the family of Earth? We all have so much to offer. And last week, we leaned into the question again of who am I? And in a roundabout way, we landed on an answer given by the French Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And to those of us who are schooled in Unity and New Thought, this is not a new revelation. But in our discourse last week, we went further and explored both our light and our shadow in order to grasp the fullness of what it means to be both human and divine at the exact same time. You know, he said in the material, "It is vital and true and deeply required that we are to tell our story. Yet there inevitably comes a point when no single story is ever large enough to hold us. This is the point of healing, not just to tell your story, but to let the story fade away, revealing our true nature." Our story includes, as they proverbially say, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It includes what we did and what we didn't do. It includes what happened to us and what didn't happen to us. But there comes a time when we realize that we are more than our individual stories and shadows. We are unlimited, unafraid, and unstoppable. In short, we are a unique expression of the divine, the livingness of the Christ incarnate. And yes, we have all the stuff of our humanity to deal with, but that is not the central defining feature of who we are. It is a part, an important part, but it's not all there is. So we are far larger than our story. It's a lot to take in, because sometimes we get so stuck on our story, it becomes a part of who we are, and we start identifying it and saying, "I am my story. I am what happened to me. I am what didn't happen. I am what I did. I am what I didn't do." Through our spiritual practices and our understanding of principles, we learn to let that go. We learn to forgive. We learn to move on. Move on to the truth who we've come here to be and what we have come here to do. So there's this other question that we want to spend some time on today, and we'll pick it up again next week. It is immense, but there really is one central thesis we need to look at when we examine the question, what do I love? And it's important to me, was meaningful to me, that in the text, the question was not, who do I love, but what do I love? Although, to be fair, who you love matters also. Because as we say around here, love is love. We're called to love. We're called to love one another, even as I have loved you. I was recently in Annapolis, went to get a crab cake for my birthday last week, and walked past an Episcopal church, and it said, love one another. John 13:34, I think is the reference. And underneath it, it said, end racism. All right, there you go. Gospel in a nutshell. Love one another. But I digress. In the text, though, Moeller invites us to lean into the question and the understanding that our lives are shaped by what we love. And how is it then that our lives get shaped by what we love? His answer is quite simple, and it's something that in Unity and New Thought we invest a lot of our teaching around. And that's this question, or this idea rather, that we shape our lives by what we love, depending on what we give our attention to or what we focus on. Because if we focus on love, chances are we will experience more loving experiences. If we focus on what we don't love, chances are we will experience more of what we don't love. In his writings on the 12 powers of mankind, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore identified love as one of the 12 powers. And one of the things he said about love was a great magnet. And whatever you love, you draw yourself to, or you draw to yourself. It really goes both ways. Love is a great magnet. And whatever gets our attention, we are sticking ourselves to. And it's really important, though, that we consider the definition of two words. And we often use them interchangeably. They are not synonyms, but I wanted to talk about them today just for a moment. And those words are attention and intention. Attention is the directing of the mind to an object. Intention is the directing of the mind to an outcome. So are you focusing on a thing, a tangible thing, or are you focusing your energy on something you want to see made manifest? The object is already here. The intention is yet to be made. So that's the focus. That's the difference. These two words are very important to us. And they work hand in hand, like this, hand in hand. I'm demonstrating hand in hand. I brought a prop today, two props. We often say that where attention goes, energy flows. And we take action based on what gets our attention. That is, what it is we love. So if something you love has your attention, then what are you going to do about it? Moeller, in his text, poses two ways of approaching our life related to what gets our attention. And the different ways yield different outcomes. He says that we can approach life from the consciousness of A, what needs to be fixed, or B, what do I really love? What needs to be fixed, or what do I love? Or maybe we might say, what's broken? It needs to be repaired to get back to where it was. And the latter says, my world is awesome. What's next? Kind of like that one. But it would be easy, though, for us to fall into a dualistic either-or thinking and ask the question, are you a repairer or a creator? Because if we're holding these two questions, it would be easy, it was easy for me, to fall into that distinction. Are you a repairer or a creator? But actually, there's a time and a place for both. And both are necessary, because sometimes things are broken and they need to be fixed. But we fix them from the perspective of, my life is awesome, and it's going to be awesomer as I go forward. There's a danger when we look for what's broken. in the fact that we run the risk of becoming people who are so good at seeing what's wrong that ultimately everything is wrong and broken. I once heard somebody say, you know, why do we call somebody a perfectionist who's always looking for what isn't perfect? Like that. And the danger on always focusing on what we love, on the converse, is that we may become completely selectively blind to what we don't want to see. You know, and this is that denial in the psychological sense of, I'm just not looking over here. Everything's perfect in my world. I'm not looking over there. So the balance is important. Muller writes in the text, at times, rather than attend to the things we love, we give the bulk of our attention to the things that bring us harm, or I might say things that are broken or things that are not working. And as we try to heal what has been hurt, we focus all of our care around the things that are painful. Clearly, our wounds need our attention. But when we concentrate exclusively upon our hurt, we learn to see the brokenness, the losses, the injuries we have been given as the most important things in our lives. We cultivate an attention to these wounds in such a way that over time they come to occupy the most important place in our heart. Our wounded lives in the center of our thoughts. In this way, we actually come to love our suffering. All right, that's a big one to grasp. Why don't we all just take a breath? You know, he goes on to say later on that we don't actually love our pain and sorrow. But what we get attached to are those things. And they allow them to define, and we allow them to define us. It comes back to that adage, where attention goes, energy flows. Attention goes, energy flows. So it is important for us to capture this key idea of attention and intention. What is getting our attention? What the teaching right here is that becomes the magnet. And it is so challenging for us when we're going through rough waters and difficult times to stay focused on the fact that life is good, that we are empowered, that we have tools at our disposal that we can use to create the lives we all want to live individually and to create the life we want to live collectively. It's sidetracked, pulled away, and it becomes a magnet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reading my newspaper a little more often these days. And I'm listening to conversations that are very awkward. And I find myself being pulled into this vortex of negativity. And it's like I had to stop myself and say, what are you doing? Do you love that so much? Are you getting into the angst and the anxiety and all of it so much that you're losing sight of what a beautifully abundant world this is? How beautiful Mother Nature is. It takes a lot of work to balance that pull into that abyss. Hey, guess what? We can do it. That's what we're doing right now. We're reminding ourselves, let us give our attention to the things we love and that we want to have happen. What are we for in our lives? And then to look within and realize the resources we have. I mentioned the 12 powers. We have all those 12 powers. We have our spiritual practices. We have our principles that we can use to get us moving in the direction of our dreams and our desires for ourselves and our world. We don't have to be stuck, because the truth is we're not stuck. Unless we make those wounds and that angst so much a part of ourselves, it gets all our attention. Yes, there are some things we need to fix. There are things in my life I need to fix. But let's do the work and move on to brighter and beautiful days based on what's right, not what's wrong. So you may be wondering, how do we do that? How do we make that move? How do we shift our attention and move forward? Well, I think our scriptures give us wonderful examples of that. We've already talked about one and from Leviticus, sharing, sacred sharing, sharing our abundance with all that we meet. And from our Christian scriptures, Paul in his letter to the Philippians gives us a remarkably potent starting point, and which is the one that we use in Unity and New Thought all the time. And he says this, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Yeah. And that's what we did when we went into our meditation. Focus on the infinity of God, which is the source of all of these things. We can have conversations about these things. And we can work to make these things a reality in our lives. Because once you have thought on these things, let the Spirit within guide you in taking the actions to bring them into manifestation. And that's what we're going to talk about next. How then shall I live, knowing I will die? And I'm just going to give it away. We're going to live remarkably and wonderfully. Peace be with you. Namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.